This morning, I think the message that I'm beginning, at least this morning, is probably one of the most heavy, for me, messages that I've done. Now, how many times have I said that in the last 6 months? But there's something heavy in the responsibility that God is giving us that we need to get. And it's because
I would like to introduce Moses and Lily Borjas. I would like you to greet the church. Lily, por favor, ven a saludar a la iglesia. I'm very proud to call her my girl. Estoy muy orgullosa de llamarle mi hija. Es un honor y un placer. It's an honor and a pleasure. Tenerlos aquí, have them here for you to get to know, para ustedes conocer. You want to translate for her, Mo?
I can, yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Saluda a la iglesia y Mo puede traducir.
Estoy muy contenta de estar en esta mañana con gente tan hermosa como ustedes.
Very happy to be here with beautiful people like you.
Y yo sé que es un reto prestarle el micrófono a una predicadora.
I know it's a challenge to lend out the microphone to a preacher.
Pero no voy a predicar esta mañana.
But I will not preach this morning.
A menos que Dios me dé una palabra, entonces seré obediente.
Unless God gives me a word, I'll be obedient.
Pero muy feliz de estar con nuestros pastores y padres espirituales.
It's very good to be here with our pastors and our also spiritual fathers.
He tenido que rendir mis celos delante de Dios porque no los queremos volver a llevar al paso.
Yeah, I've had to surrender my zeal or my desire to God because we would like for them to be back in El Paso.
Así que tengo una encomienda para ustedes.
So I have something to entrust in you.
Cuídenlos.
Take care of them, please.
Y ámenlos.
And love them.
Y valoren el esfuerzo de ellos.
And value their effort.
Allá los extrañamos mucho.
We greatly want them and miss them and want them back over there.
Pero estamos en un mismo llamado.
But we're in the same calling.
Y conectados siempre.
And we are always connected.
Muchas gracias.
Thank you.
Y muchas gracias por sus atenciones, la familia que nos recibió. Gracias.
Thank you for to Chuck and Vicky for receiving us at their home. Thank you for their hospitality. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, I gotta say something. I'm not in all my life. I think this is my second message that I'm going to speak without having to translate, something like that. Usually I do translating when we go to different parts of Mexico, and then when I preach, usually I will do it in Spanish all the way. So I'm really delighted to be doing this today. So thank you, Glenn. For those that don't know, we met Glenn back in Mexico for, I think it's already been around almost 16 years, Glenn. I think it was 2000, around there that time, maybe a little bit more. And ever since we got to meet him during that time, we just were touched by something very important, not the grace that so much he has, and the anointing that he has, and the ability and talent he has, but and not his good looks he has. But it was just that father's heart. And all through time, Lily and I have been pastoring for almost that time. It's been almost 17 years already. And Glenn was there when they were anointing us as pastors. It was not easy for us, young kids, 24 years old at that time. And Not only that, we're challenged that we're coming into pastoring two churches. Who was a pastor at that time was transitioning to another city, and we're left with pastoring a church in Mexico, on the Mexican side, and one in the Texas side. And 24 years old, pastoring two churches. And let me just tell you something very quick. I grew up as a pastor's kid. My dad pastored for almost 10 years in Mexico, also on the Juarez side. And I didn't really see anything negative about it. I just wasn't attracted to it. And I just said, I don't want to be a pastor. I want to be a musician. I wanted to do all this. And that was my desire. And I was going to perform in big platforms and great auditoriums or whatever, you know. That's what a lot of the young kids in church wanted to do at that time. And God had other plans. You know, in 2000, God called us to start serving in a church in Mexico, in Juarez. Celeste was small. She was around maybe 3 years old. And Melody was born when we were in Juarez already. We were serving in Juarez. And during that time, and this is just a little bit of where we've gone through, and during that time, all the stuff in 9/11 had happened, and I was telling Chuck that we used to have to wait almost 4 hours in line to cross from Mexico to El Paso. What we did strategically, we sent a van, one of our vans, to the other side to pick us up, and a group that went from El Paso would walk the bridge, and we did that for almost 2 years. And my daughters grew up there walking the bridge. And we did service in the morning in Juarez, Mexican side, and in the afternoon we would do the El Paso side. And we did that for a couple of years, almost 5 years. And God's been good to us. Has God been good to you? And He was very faithful with us. We went through times where there were storms, snow, it was cold, it was hot, it was everything, we saw everything, and God was faithful with us. We've transitioned since then. In 2009, we transitioned totally to the church in El Paso, and we've been serving there for the last nine years, totally in El Paso. And Lily said something very important right now, and we were so blessed when one day Glenn calls us and says, Mo, I just want to talk to you about something. And we felt it also in our heart, and they were part of us for a couple of months there, great expectations, and we didn't know what God had planned. You know, we didn't know what He wanted to do, and I'm just so glad. You know, I told Chelsea the other day, I said, I'm at peace. I think this is a place that is right for Glenn. El Paso is a little bit different to this type of atmosphere. And when I say atmosphere, I'm talking about it's not green. It's very brown, just like my arms. And so there's mountains there, big mountains. But it's not green. It's very dusty and a lot of dirt. And I know it was hard, but you know, we are blessed to know that whatever you have sown there, Glenn, you left a great mark, and we are so pleased that we see this great work that you guys are doing here. And thank you to all of you, Chuck and Vicky. Thank you for, I know we had a little talk, Chuck and I, and appreciate that talk, Chuck. And I was tempted all these days to ask him for his quad, but just didn't do it. You know, they laugh. I saw him. I'm like, no, I don't know if he's gonna lend it to me. You know, men are territorial. We're like, yeah, it's like, I'll give you a ride. Okay, I want us to go to the Word of God, and I want us to start off in some verses in the book of Proverbs. They asked me yesterday, what is there are so many Bible versions, and they asked me what is the version I usually read off of. Well, I read Spanish version, and so I said, that's not going to work. So in Spanish, we have, it's called Biblia de las Americas. And so my first reaction was that American Standard version, I guess. But then I went back and I said, oh my God, it's good, but it's still, you know, it's not very contemporary, but we'll read off of that. We'll be good. And I want us to go to Proverbs chapter 3. So today I want to share to you about the importance of destiny. The importance of destiny. Now, for many of us, we feel that destiny is a place we have to get to. But I believe that destiny is not something we get to, but we live in. Okay? There's a way that sometimes we try to handle our Christian life. And it's like, you know, we talk a lot about retirement. And we feel that, you know, in God, I see a lot of people try to strive to retire in God. And maybe in this earth, we will retire. We will have a pension or whatever, you know. After so many years of work, I think it's right. But there is a difference. In God, sometimes we feel that we're also striving to say, you know, I've already lived so many hours or worked so many hours or so many years or so many days in God. And we tend to want to ask God sometimes, God, you know, when will it come? And as a pastor, you know, I could honestly say that sometimes I've asked that question. Sometimes I've asked that question like, okay, God, you know, do I get there? And there's like always a sense that there is a there. And that there has, to some of us, has a different picture. You know, that there has like, you know, what if God calls me to mission as a missionary to Hawaii? No. You know? And we feel that maybe that's not there. And the other side is that we talk a lot sometimes about, you know, that maybe there is a side of God, and not the prosperity message, because that's not the focus, but there's that part of, maybe it's not monetary prosperity, but maybe sometimes it's anointing prosperity, sometimes it's position prosperity, sometimes it's entitlement prosperity, that we feel that we want to go up a ladder in some sort of structure in the Christian, I guess we'd say, what we call the church, you know? But I believe that destiny is not something where we get to, but we live every day in it. Again, it's not that we're going to get there, but we live every day in it. There's a difference between somebody trying to get there and somebody that's not captivated by that, but says, I am living in the destiny of God. Is there somebody here this morning? And so I want to read this, and we'll read some verses here, and I know that Glenn said this morning, he told me, you know, you didn't travel 20 hours just to give us a 40-minute message. I said, cool. He says, you know, it's 3 hours. That's okay. You didn't travel that far. He says, you know, you could preach 3 hours, but, you know, at 11:30, everybody leaves. You can keep preaching. So I want to be able to just give you some things that I want to drop or sow in your heart, and maybe they'll bless you. And maybe to some of you, you're already there. Some of you, you will get strengthened by it. Some of you will, you know, get a revelation of God through it. And whatever God does this morning, I believe that this is a word of God. So are we there in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5? Amen. And I know that they probably put it up here for me. Thank you. And it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not upon thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And I want to make emphasis today on certain points here, because I want us to, if we would put like, what is the goal of this message? It would be to help you understand again that destiny is not a place, but destiny is a lifestyle. This is important. You know, I remember, I don't know if any of you guys saw that that program that ran through the 90s called Seinfeld. And if you're around, you like to see TV and stuff like that, you saw, but you know, they did a study, and they determined why it was so popular. And the reason was because it was a plotless program. And, you know, and to many people, it was interesting because as they saw how many people would really look or tune into this, I guess, this program, this sitcom, one of the things was that they saw that there was people that kind of identified with that program because their life was plotless. It moved from one story to the other. It really didn't have anywhere to go, but you just saw different lifestyles. And it seemed like, you know, in our life, many times, it seems like we're following a lot of that path where it's kind of plotless. And I'm not saying that, you know, we are with that we represent this program, but one of the things is that it kind of shows you how is it that a lot of this is influencing in our time. And as we see this, it's very important. It's very interesting because of all the reruns of all the programs, that program still finds a way to be in the highest ratings of reruns. So how do we act and think differently? We saw God's hand in our plots of our lives, connecting one circumstance to the next, you know, in the tapestry of his will. Hope, purpose, and joy will permeate our lives if we begin to follow that destiny. We live in that destiny. I like this. I read this, and it says, when you live out your destiny, you don't measure what you have done according to what someone else has done. Nor is your destiny to be confused with a busy life. When your life is filled with purpose, you measure what you have done according to what you were created to do. Again, when your life is filled with purpose, you measure what you have done according to what you were created to do. God didn't create you to be plotless. God didn't create you to just live a busy life. God created you to live in his destiny. I say again, God created you to live in his destiny. God has given you a destiny. So destiny is a customized life calling for which God has equipped and ordained us in order to bring him the greatest glory and the maximum expansion of his kingdom. Every Christian must understand their destiny or primary purpose in life, which is to glorify God and make him known. That is one of the purposes in our destiny, that we must again glorify God and make him known. When people see you outside, do they see you and they say, you know, there's something about this person that I could see that maybe they don't identify it at that moment, but they're understanding that you have something that is not just plotless, that you just don't go back to something that is just trying to survive, but that you have something that's driving you, something that's pushing you, something that you yearn to have in God, and that is to glorify him. In everything you do, in your decisions, in your house, through your family, through your work, whatever be your circumstance right now, you know that God can be glorified. Even through the moments that are difficult, God can be glorified. Do you say amen to that? And so we start understanding that he's giving all of us a destiny. Again, it's not that we can say yes, our destiny is to get to heaven. Yeah? I mean, there's a friend of ours, and he always says this. He's like, man, you know, you're a young guy. You have a young body, but an old spirit. And when he says that, it's because I grew up in the Spanish culture. I know a lot of songs since I was, I don't even know, maybe 3 years old. Old songs. And they name me one and I know how to play it or know how to sing it. One of the things is that I've learned that, you know, that one of the things is that even though I tend to have a kind of an older mentality, I'm very serious, and sometimes my daughters get a little bit frustrated with me because of that. You know, I'm very serious about things. But then the other side is I'm a little bit of a joker guy too, you know. And so my wife, she's like, she sometimes has to be, it's like, are you serious or are you playing with us? Because I don't know what you're trying to do here. And so what I'm trying to get here is that as we live out, you know, our lives, daily lives in wherever we're at, you know, God has to be glorified. God has to be glorified. When I go out of my door, you know, whatever be my circumstance, whatever be, whether you're young, whether you're retired, whether you're almost retired, you got to say, you know, God, let today your name be glorified. Let today, that through me, somebody can be touched by you, God. That I'm not focused on my need, but I'm focused that your glory, God, can come to someone's situation, to someone's need, and something powerful could happen there. That's how you should see this. That God can use you because you were destined. This is something, again, not that you're going to get to, but that you're living today. Something that today it's happening for you. That it happens again in your family. It happens in your business. It happens in your job place. It happens if you go to the market. It happens if you go to the store. Wherever you be, that you say, you know, let God be glorified. This city needs people that can say, God is being glorified through me. Can I hear an amen on that? You know, and I said right now that your primary purpose is to glorify God and make him known. So Isaiah 43, you know, and I probably won't read it all, but it has that part in that verse 7. And it says, everyone that is called by my name and whom I created for my glory, whom I have formed, whom I have made. You know, and it stands out. He says, created for my glory. There is a part there when it says glory that it's just a sense of, you know, for me to be known. There is a pleasure in the Father in heaven that through us he is known. You know, there is pleasure in that. There is a sense of saying, I want to be known through you. You know, it's sometimes hard when people don't want to know anything about God because of us. Oh, come on, people, are you here? That people say, I don't want to go to church anymore because of that person. I don't want to go to church because of him or her. I don't even want to know anything about God. It's hard. And again, telling you, I grew up as a pastor's kid, and I had a lot of friends because through my father, I met a lot of also ministers and a lot of their kids. You know, they were preaching the gospel, but they were not glorifying God. Because they were not glorifying God as husbands. They were not glorifying God as fathers. They were not glorifying God as to living the message they were preaching. And you know what? They lost their children, and now I can see them, and they say, I don't want to know anything about God because of my father. You know, I want for my daughter to say, I want to glorify God because I saw my dad glorify God. I want to serve God because I saw how my mother and my father served God. And that's how they start glorifying God. And the destiny is already living in them at that age. Are you here today? You see, you got to start seeing it that way. You were made, you were created for His glory. Destiny always starts in the place of God in our lives. If we want to understand our destinies, God must occupy the central places in our hearts, minds, motivations, and actions. You know, Deuteronomy 6:5 just says, you shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your might. That's where it starts. That's where it starts. That's where it starts. So the heart of destiny is to serve the purposes of God. As we obey and serve the Lord, He will make His purpose clear to us. We just read right now in Proverbs, you know, trust in the Lord. Do not lean on your own understanding. And he starts, you know, and as we read it, it stands out, and something that stands out, and he says, and he will direct your paths. You know, he will start making it clear in our lives. You know, we get so, tied up with so many things that we fog up what God wants to do in our lives. We fog it. You know, I don't know if you guys have a lot of fog here during some seasons, yeah? Over there, it's not called fog. It's called dust storms. But you know, it makes it very hard to drive. Yeah, there was a song a long time ago for those that were not holy at one time. You know, there was a song that says, I can see clearly now the rain is gone. Yeah, don't sing it, just think about it. Everybody's da 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 da. Oh, okay, sorry. You know? And that's kind of how God starts. When you start putting God in the center of your heart, all that fog, all that which is trying to really take away that glory from God that is going to be manifested through you to other people, you know, God starts cleaning your path. You start kind of knowing where you're going to. You know, it's interesting because when you have like Celeste and she graduated, one of the first questions she'll always get is, so what's next? What are you planning to do? What do you want to make of your life? What are you going to study? You know, it's, do you know where you're going? That's what it's called. But you know, in our Christian life, there has to be a moment that when somebody stands in front of you and says, you know where you're going? It's not just saying, yeah, I'm going to go to heaven. That's easy to say. Do you know where you're going? And sometimes maybe we're saying, God, you know, just like he told Nicodemus, you know, sometimes it's like the wind that you don't know where it comes from, where it's going. And sometimes maybe our life doesn't have a clear path, but he starts clearing it for us and we know where we're going to. One of the things that we should know is God will be glorified through me. You know, God will be glorified through me. And one of the things is that you must have a purpose and say, the first purpose I should have in my heart is to teach my children that how is it to glorify God? So, God's destiny for you will lead you to a fulfilling life. When people don't live with the sense that God has given them a divine purpose in life, they become depressed. Each member of the body of Christ has a unique role. And I know I give them the verses. We won't be able to read them all, but it's in Romans chapter 12, verse 4 and 8. But each member, what it's saying here, it's each member of the body of Christ has a unique role to play. But when some members don't fulfill their God-given destiny, the body cannot function. Now, I'm getting to another point right here, and it's important. I'm almost done. And when Glenn's like, no, that's just barely half hour. You still need 2.5 hours to go. Thanks, Glenn. So one of the things is that I want to be able to tell you is that that you're not just a person that you should see yourself as a solitary man or somebody that's just out there. You know, you cannot call family to something that is disconnected. Do you hear me? They're called siblings. But family is when you see somebody united. That's family. When you see them united. In this world that we're having so many issues with what we call now marriage, you know, and it has filtered into the church, we got to understand how it's affecting us. When you give into, that's what I want to say here, when you give into the pleasures of this world, when you give into just giving yourself into saying, you know what, somebody else could do it. That's okay. I don't feel like doing it today. You know, when you give into a situation like this, you're hurting the body. You're disconnecting. You know, one time there was a person that that I heard preach about this. He says, you know, this morning when you got up, your arm didn't say, or maybe it did, I don't know. Your arm didn't say, you know, I don't want to go to church today. I'm going to stay home. You know, and you just came with one arm. The other one decided to stay at home. You know, when you got up, all your members got up with you. Whether they were hurting, whether they needed some, at least two doses or two cups of coffee, I don't know. You know, but you made it out all together. And that's how the body is. Sometimes it's going to hurt. Sometimes it feels like the joints are hurting. Sometimes it feels like it's not easy. But we all need to stick together. Are you here today? We all need to say, God, you know, I know that someone is depending on me. And that's another way God is being glorified. That's the way the church is now fulfilling that destiny in God. You know, people are seeing us here. People are seeing. As people drive by there, they know there's a church. They know somebody's in there. They know something's happening. You know, I got to read a book many years ago, and I'm trying to know if it's, and the title of it says, Everybody's Normal Until You Get to Know Them. Everybody's like, that's true. Right? But that's the nice thing about it. It's, you know, and I'm going to tell you, it's not that God says everybody has to be the same. No, because we all either wear an arm, wear a leg, wear a foot, whatever be a part of that body, different members but coming together. But one purpose has to be accomplished in the church. For God to be glorified through us. Doesn't matter what part you're playing. Whether it's the one that has to clean, whether it's the one that has to be in the sound, whether it's the one that's doing, you know, the music, whether it's the one that's putting the chairs all straightened out. Whatever be the situation, let me tell you something. God needs to be glorified through that. And when you understand that part, we are living in the destiny. We're part of that body. When you know your destiny, you know your value in God's eyes. When you discover your destiny, you will begin to live your life like you have never before. This is important. And the last point is determine that you're fulfilling your destiny. Spoke about God has given you destiny. God's destiny for you will lead to a fulfilling life. And number three is determine if you're fulfilling your destiny. We know we are fulfilling a purpose in the way that we impact others. Again, and I'm coming back to that. Because as we leave today, you know, we won't come back till next Sunday. Hear another sermon. In our church in El Paso, we have services, midweek services. So imagine, they have to hear not 52 sermons, double that. You'll come back, hear another sermon. I remember one friend said, you know, I'm going to lay it strong. Tomorrow I'm not going to be here. And one thing for sure is that as you go out, I'm making this clear again. Are people being blessed by you? Is God being glorified through you as you meet other people? Not perfect people. Because God is not in the business of using perfect people. He is perfecting people. Did you just hear what I said? But you gotta tell God, yes, God. Yes. I heard somebody say, that's the hardest word that you can tell God, yes. Because as he asks you today, are you ready for me to fulfill my purpose in you? Are you ready for me to be glorified through you? It's not just because, you know, people see that we go to a church. No, it's that our daily lives reflect that which is in our hearts. That which lives in our hearts. That we're serving God with all our hearts, with all our minds, with all our souls. We reflect it to other people through our service. We reflect it through the way that we love on them. We reflect it through the way that we're praying for them. We reflect it through the way that we also decide for us. You know, the biggest thing that people will see first when you preach to them is they'll check what you have lived through your sermon. You know, one of the things that I heard, and this is, I heard it at Tucson Church when Glenn was out there. And somebody said, at the end of my days, when somebody says, how did you measure success? I will measure it through my family. I will measure it if they're serving the Lord. I will measure it if they're serving the love and they're also doing his will. It's not measured through the financial, which that is good, but that's not the purpose. It's not measured through just, you know, I helped them get through college and now they have a good job. That's very good. But that's not the purpose. The purpose at the end is God being glorified. That's to live the destiny. You know, in Acts chapter 13, verse 36, it speaks about, for David, after he served the purpose of God in his own generation. Wow. This is one of my favorite scriptures. He served his generation. You know, talking to Glenn, we talked about how is it sometimes we have a generational gap. And for some reason, it happens. Even though we tried, you know, many times to close that gap where from one generation it tends to attack the next generation. Yeah, one of the ways that we said is like, yeah, they don't make them like they used to make them before. Yeah, it's like a car. Yeah, you know, remember you could work on your car, take off your carburetor, fix it, put all the neat gaskets in it. You know, the plugs are right there. Now you literally have to take out the motor to change a plug. I mean, it's just different. You can't work in a car like you used to. And that's why we're still kind of, they don't make them like they used to. You know, we were simple, you know. And maybe it's true. Maybe from one generation it changes to another. But that does not give us, for us older generation, the sense of saying, you know, I cannot help the next generation. The next generation is still looking up to us. They're still looking up to us. They're still saying, you know, what are they doing? Because the greatest thing that can happen is how we model. How we model. We have many people that say things, but how we model is what's going to help that generation. And that's important because as we are determined to fulfill and living this destiny, you know, we got to say, God, you know, I just don't want to speak it. I want to model it. I want to be a model for the next generation. Paul was very direct with Titus and Timothy when he talked about modeling. And how is it that you get the older to help the younger ones, to model it? It's important. I'm going to read this very quickly here. It says, I'm an American because I was born in America. I was born in El Paso, Texas. At the moment of my birth, I immediately qualified to be an American citizen. My birth determined my citizenship. As a Hispanic American, my roots are not from here. My roots run deep between, you know, Mexico and Spain. Regardless, I am a citizen of America because this is where I was born. Being born in America affords me all the rights, privileges, and protections given to American citizens. Yet, even though I was born here, my experience of the American dream is not guaranteed. My birth only gives me the opportunity to pursue the American dream. Not pursuing the American dream does not take away my citizenship. However, it may take away my ability to fulfill or fully enjoy and maximize the benefits of my citizenship. If you're a part of the family of God, having trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are a citizen of God's kingdom because you have been born again. You have been birthed into God's family, thus affording you access to all of the rights, privileges, and protections that comes from His throne. But even though you may be born in the kingdom, you may or may not be enjoying or maximizing the benefits of the kingdom. If you don't pursue all that you can do in the kingdom, you will lose your citizenship in the kingdom. But you must, or you most certainly will reduce your experiences of the benefits of the kingdom. And that's how I see this. You know, it's then again, we cannot sit down and say, well, thy kingdom come. And that's how we usually see it. I'll sit down and thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You know, sitting down, I can assure you today that that's not God's plan. It's in your hands to say, I want to be able to fulfill the purpose of God in my life. Being that I am a baseball player, avid fan, I read this and it says, when Yogi Berra, I hope you know who Yogi Berra was, and Hank Aaron played baseball against each other, they had a playful rivalry. During one particular game, Hank Aaron stepped up to the plate, and Yogi, the catcher of the opposing team, tried everything to distract Hank. And he would say, hey, Hank, you can't hit. He would tell him, your mama can't hit. You hit like a girl. Hey, did you notice that your name on the back of the uniform is spelled wrong? So Yogi kept picking on Hank. Well, Hank didn't pay any attention, and he slugged the next pitch over the center field wall. After he rounded the bases and touched home plate, he looked back at Yogi and said, hey, Yogi, just thought you might know I didn't come here to read. Just like Hank Aaron, when we stay focused on our destiny, the voices that try to distract us become more and more silent. We talked about being fogged with a lot of things. There's voices that are telling you, you're not worthy. You won't be able to fulfill it. Today, I just want to close by saying this. If you let God be the center of your life, and you start telling God, God, you know, there's something bigger than where I'm at right now. There's something that weighs. I can tell you with all my heart, and Glenn is one of the people that inspires me most. I have a couple of other people, but Glenn is one of them. Not just because he's here, but he knows that. He's pretty good in my book, you know. But knowing him for many years, I could say that he's pushed me, because a lot of times I tell him, and he say, Glenn, you know, there's a lot of things that are going on. There's a lot of situations that are voicing out your failure. You know, you haven't reached it. Give up. You know, all these people are Judas. That's me, okay? That's not Glenn saying. That's me. They're only in El Paso. The Judas are only in El Paso. Not in Kirksville. You know, and one of the things he's always motivated me to do is, you know, you got to look beyond that. You got to look beyond that. Stay focused. And sometimes you'll ask the deepest questions that nobody else will ask me. And he'll ask those questions that go deep in the core. I remember one time he asked me, and he says, do you feel God called you to be a pastor? At that moment, I felt a little bit threatened. Glenn didn't know that. Now, I didn't want to beat him up because he's a little bit taller than me. No, that's not it. No, that never happens then. But when I say threatened, you know, I said, you know, I'm the pastor. But stuff like that, he would ask me. And my answer was, I believe I was called to that. And I remember him telling me then, you got to look beyond that. Beyond this situation. Beyond this point. And sometimes it's not easy. It's not going to be easy, church. There's more reasons to say, I won't. I can't. There's more reasons to say, you know, God, I'm just giving up. There's more reasons to say, I think it's time to retire, God. There's more reasons to say, God, you know, I just feel that I wasn't called to this. I could say with all my heart, each one of you was called. Each one of you has a purpose. Each one of you was called to bring forth through your life his glory. And for that glory to expand his kingdom through this town, through this city. You wouldn't believe it, but Kirksville has been a blessing to many people through the years. It carries a legacy that maybe some of you know or some of you don't know. It's through the stories that I heard through Kirksville that I understood what family was. It's through the stories of Kirksville during back in 98, 99, and 2000. That's why it motivated me to make a transition. They say this is family culture. Away from just living a ministry. Because this is not about, I want to live, I'm gonna fulfill God's calling in my life because I'm going to dethrone Glenn and I'm going to be the preacher. Which he probably will say, go for it. But that's not the purpose. There's some of my guys over there in El Paso that I have the keys to the church very close to me because I'm like, well, here are the keys. You want it, buddy? Take it. Like, oh, no, that's okay, pastor. It's like, I'm not holding on to this because this up here is not what is making me. This up here is just an opportunity. This up here is just something that it's a responsibility. But when I go up there, that's my purpose. That's why I want people to see the glory of God in my life. Can you just close your eyes where you're at today? As you hear this message, I believe that there are parts of this message that I know that could have stuck to you today. That maybe starts building in your heart some questions of saying, God, what can I do? Are you being glorified? Are you being glorified, God? Am I letting sometimes the enemy speak into my life in such a way that I'm giving him too much credit? Or am I really trying and saying, God, you know, I want to hear your voice today. Your voice has been spoken, Father, to this church. And as we are here today, it's not easy just to say yes, because a yes, no, requires a commitment. A yes requires fulfillment. A yes requires covenant. A yes requires for us to battle through the hardest times and keep pressing on. Today, Father, as we are closing today, let us not just leave with a message that sounded good, or a message that we liked, or maybe a message that we didn't like. But let us leave, God, with one question in our heart and says, are you being glorified through me, God? I'm asking you this today, Father. Are you being glorified through me? Because if you're not, I need you today. I need you. That's my desire. Everything else, God, won't even be important if you're not glorified through me. Everything else, you know, will come and go. But if you're not being glorified through me, God, then I'm not living your purpose. I'm not living in your destiny, Father. And today, Father, I just pray over each one of these beautiful families that your purpose, you be glorified through them, Father. Thank you, Lord. 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 Holy Spirit, I know you're doing a work. You're speaking into the heart. Be glorified. Be glorified, God. Be glorified, Lord. Be glorified. Be glorified. Be glorified, God. There's families here that have been struggling, young families that have been struggling, have been battling with many situations in your heart, even with your children. Today, say, God, I want you to be glorified through my family. Teach me. Guide me. Come on, say it to him today. Guide me, Holy Spirit. I want you to be glorified through my family. I want you to be glorified. Give me the right words to say here. Give me the strategies, Father, to be able to help out my children. They're in this war zone, Father, that they go out every day. They have questions. They're confronted by situations that they see that for us at one time, maybe there was not normal. And for them, it's something that is very casual today, but they still have questions. Father, give me the strategy. There's marriages here that at one point, you know, you just gone on cruise control. And it's almost like you're saying, you know, as long as I make it. But God doesn't just want you to survive. He wants you to have a happy marriage. He wants you to have a happy marriage. He doesn't just want you to say, you know, well, I'm sticking here because of the kids, or I'm here because of the grandkids, or I'm here. No, he still wants you, whether you're in marriage just months, or you're already over 40 years married, 50 years married. Doesn't matter. God is saying, I still want you to have a happy marriage. And that's God being glorified through you. God be glorified as husbands as we are. That God is glorified through us as husbands. That God is glorified through you, woman, as a wife. God is glorified. I don't know if somebody could say today, yes, we need this, God. We need this, Father. We need this. This is what we need. This is not just something that we want to just leave today in this church, but we want to take it into our homes. We want to take it into our towns. We want to take it into our city. We want to take it wherever we go, Father. You be glorified. You will be glorified. In your presence, all fear is gone. In your presence. In your presence, it's where I belong. In your presence. This morning,
I think the message that I'm beginning, at least this morning, is probably one of the most heavy, for me, messages that I've done. Now, how many times have I said that in the last 6 months? But there's something heavy in the responsibility that God is giving us that we need to get. And it's because